righteous. But many are being tempted. Yeah. Somebody said it right. We're all being tempted to let go. Whatever you do, don't let go. Don't let go. And that's one of the true signs of your salvation, is your ability. And we might really clear that up and say, God's ability in you that's causing you to hold on and do what Abraham did. He hoped against hope. The scripture says he hoped against hope when there was no reason to hope. He held on and kept hope alive. Amen. Jesse Jackson didn't come up with that. Jesus came up with that. The Holy Spirit said that through Paul years ago. Keep hope alive. Hope against hope. Job's wife said, why are you still holding on to your integrity? Let go. Curse God and die. He said, you sound like a foolish woman. I'm not letting go. Trust in him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, and if your earthly friends forsake you, still more closer to him cling. Hold on. Can't let go. Hallelujah. Let's bring our table. I still have a word to share. But what we want to do is get focused. Amen? We want to get focused. There's a lot of reasons that we could be discouraged and want to let go. It seems like the world is going mad. Especially in America. Not a whole lot of stability right now. Our country is quite unstable. And the stress level of people are at an all-time high. Anxiety. Of course, we've been commanded to be anxious for what? Nothing. In modern terms, at least, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And just because things are going crazy in America doesn't mean it's actually happening all over the world. We think if something is happening bad in America, oh, the world is coming to an end. Some of this evil stuff has been going on in countries for years. Hello? And surely those people felt like their world was coming to an end. I think we're getting a taste of some of what the the world has been experiencing all the time. And there are some countries in relative peace because they may have a stable government right now. But many times we're so focused on what's going on in our world, in our sphere, in our arena. I do agree that it feels bad. It feels like we're in troublesome times. I do agree it feels like that. And I do agree that there are some problems. Amen? There are some troubles. There are some problems. There's a lot going on. But the one thing we must remember is that we as the church, we are the bearers of good news. We're the bearers of good news. And we cannot forget that that's what we are carrying, the good news. The gospel means the good news. And Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go preach the good news. Tell them that what you hear on CNN is not the end of the story. What Fox is saying is not the end of the story. What MSNBC is not the end of the story. It's news, but most of it is not good news. We have the good news. Here's the question, brothers and sisters. Those of us who are recipients of this good news, and those who have received this good news, are we carrying the good news? Are we carrying the good news? When Jesus said, go into all the world, he really wasn't telling you to go to every country. And he wasn't telling me to go to every country. He did say, go into all the nations. He did say that. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. He did say, go to every nation, but he wasn't telling you to personally go to every nation. He was telling us as a body, as the body of Christ, which is comprised of saints of all times, times past and times in the future, saints all over the world. He was talking to the church universal. And he says, as you go out into your world, as you interact with your world, you're going to come across many nations. Many ethnos, many ethnic groups, people from all over the world, you're going to come in contact. As a body, we come into contact with all the nations of the world. And we're to share the good news with them. And we've got to remember that what you're going through right now is not the end of the story. It won't always be this way if it's good. If things are good with you right now, it won't always be this way. There is a such thing called climate change. Physically and spiritually. There is climate change. And if things are bad for you right now, hold on, it won't always be this way. What we want to do is get steady as it relates to our attitude towards the gospel. Our God is immutable. That means he never changes. So we need to get settled in our attitude and in our minds about our God. And if he's leading me in green pastures, I love him and he's still good, Sims. If he's leading me beside still waters, he's still good. If he's leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, he's good. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will maintain my attitude. I will not complain. I will not start murmuring against him. I will not be offended with him. I will not get upset with him. I will not grow cold towards him. I won't let my climate change. As it relates to me, he's still, and he's still my shepherd. Even though he led me down the path, green pastures and still waters and down paths of righteousness, and now I'm facing the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Saints, we've got to learn the scripture, and you've got to quote it, and you've got to meditate on it. And you've got to combat the devil. He is bombarding our minds with fear and anxiety and trouble. And the Bible says men's hearts will begin to fail them because of what's going on in the climate. Because of the climate change, men's hearts will fail them, not just their physical hearts, but their spiritual minds will begin to fail them. But he's still the good shepherd. And though he leads me in the path of the shadow of death, he hadn't changed. Hello. The climate has changed, but he didn't change. And he says, I want you to act like me. Be stable. Get rooted. Get grounded. Our relationship is not to be fair weather. Through all kinds of weather, he says, I'm the same. I want you to be the same. Because after that valley of the shadow of death, there's still some goodness to come. And I'm going to make a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Physical enemies, spiritual enemies, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to anoint your head with oil, and your cup is going to overflow. And goodness and mercy shall not only follow you, but it's going to lead you, because he's the good shepherd and he leads me to goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy surrounding me. So, saints, we gotta hide his word in our hearts. That we might not what? Sometimes when we think of that, thy word have I hidden and in my heart that I might not sin against him. We think of doing some kind of, fleshly sin against him. We think about that. But the Spirit has been reminding me you got some bigger troubles than just your little fleshly sins. Because what the enemy is trying to get you to do is get offended with God. So your word, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you and start murmuring against you and start entering to an area of unbelief and disbelief against him because he's not doing everything I want him to do. As he told John the Baptist, blessed is the man who is not offended in me. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've got to remember, hide his word in my heart. Always remember what he is, who he said he is, that he never changes. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even when the world is coming to an end. Lo, even when it seems like your world is crumbling and coming to an end, lo, I am with you. I'm with you. Revelations 1 and 5 says this, he is the one who loves us, who made us free from our sins with the blood of his death. He is the one who loves us and who made us free from our sins with the blood of his death. Here's what I love about it. When we love with expectations, we say, I love you, but I'll love you even more if. That's when we love with an expectation. Christ's love has none of this. No expectations with it. No strings. When he says, I love you, there is no I love you, but I love you if. It's I love you. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. See, that's good news, saints. When you call yourself witnessing to somebody, is this what you tell them? Do you share with them the good news? Oh, glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins, even though it doesn't look like it. He's freed us from our sins. The word says he has, and so he has. By shedding his blood for us. And there are no hidden agendas, there are no strings attached, there's nothing, there's no fine print. Jesus loves us, period. That's good news, saints. And that doesn't mean that we will not have to experience life and all of its ups and downs and its climate change and all of that, but we've got a promise that he loves us and nothing shall ever separate us from his love. Nothing. And everything that we go through that's negative, God says, nothing, no trouble, no trial, no tribulation, no hurt, no pain, no divorce, no bankruptcy, no nothing that you go through is going to cause me to be separated from you. And it's not for naught. All of your troubles have power. Honey, even your troubles are Cracker Jack boxes. There's a good surprise on the inside of every one of your troubles, because God says, I'm working in that thing and I'm going to work it for your good. No trouble will be wasted. There's a reward and it's working for your good. Every trouble. We've got to come to a place where we start making friends with our troubles. That's why he said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul had a thorn. He asked God to move it 3 times. God said, no, I'm not going to move it, but I'm going to give you the grace to go through this. Paul said, therefore will I rejoice. Therefore will I rejoice in my weakness then. All right? You're not going to take it away, but you're going to work this thing for my good. It's working for my benefit. Then I'm going to thank you for it. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to make friends with my trouble. Thank you. Even when he would feel that thorn buffeting him. Thank you. Somebody can say it. Thank you for the pain. Oh, I didn't. Some of y'all lips didn't move. Thank you for the pain. How can you do that? You have to have faith. Thank you for the pain, because you're going to work in this pain for my good. This pain has to come through your love. It has to come through the strain of your love. You love me. You always love me. And your purposes are always good for me. So he is the one who loves us. And he loves us with no strings attached. His love for us was and is upfront and clear. I love you, he says, even if you let me down. Hello? Anybody ever let him down? Do something you know he told you not to do? I love you in spite of your failures. Saints, are we sharing the good news? Pastor, what's wrong? You look a little heavy. I'm letting it marinate in me. Oh, I got a word. It's full and rich. But I don't want to feed you too much. I want you to get this point that we have the good news. And is that what we're sharing with people? When you share with people, do you tell them? You better get yourself together. Are you going to bust hell wide open? Wow. Do you go to them and say, come out of your sin? Listen, saints, that ain't the good news. The good news ain't come out of your sins. Did you hear that? The good news is not come out of your sins, because the fact of the matter is they can't come out of their sins. You what you might want to tell them is, I know what you're going through, but I know where some help is. Good news. I got some help. Saints, that's what we've got to tell them. The world is hungry for the living bread. And we've gotten caught up in teaching and telling them everything except the good news. Even telling them lies that if they come to Jesus, he's going to make them all wealthy. He's going to make them all rich. And he's going to solve all your problems. He is the problem solver. And he is going to eventually solve all of your problems. But when you become a part of this, you do become a part of an army. And there is an enemy against you. And this enemy is against you whether you're in the world or whether you're a part of the church. He's against you. And when you come to Christ, you now have the ultimate warrior fighting for you. You're fighting on the right side. The good news is not a threat. You're going to bust hell wide open. That's a threat. They need to hear the promises of God are yea and amen. God is saying, yes, come to me. Do you know? Do you know that the attendance of our church is not the problem with sinners? It's not a problem with sinners, it's a problem with saints. Hello? Saints getting offended with God. Saints getting offended with each other and refuse to obey the truth when God said, I want you to go to your brother and fix this thing. Saint, the problem is with not the sinners, the problem is with saints. And do you know another problem? Many sinners don't feel comfortable in our church. In our churches, they don't feel comfortable. Hello? Not only do sinners many times don't feel comfortable in our church, the saints don't feel comfortable in our church because they got sin in their life. They're still struggling with sin. Yes, they've been set free from it, but not from the fight of it. They have victory, but they don't see it yet because we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear. Oh, come on, saints. Come on, listen to this. We don't have a problem with, listen at this, the badness of our sins. Let me say it again. We don't have a problem. We know that our sins are evil. We don't have a problem with the evil of our sins. We don't have a problem with the wickedness of our sins and the badness of our sins. All unrighteousness is sin, right? And I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but is there anybody in here who don't know what sin is? Of course not. We all know what sin is. We know what it is. We know exactly what it is. And we know it's evil. and we don't have a problem with the evilness of our sins. Listen to this, though. We do have a problem with the evil of our righteousness. I say we do have a problem with the evilness of our righteousness. Do you know that even your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God? Yeah, you know what's bad about sin, but do you know the badness of your righteousness apart from Jesus? Paul says, I have a problem with my people, the Jews, because I bear the record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They are going about being ignorant of God's righteousness. They're going about establishing their own righteousness. They think they are right without Jesus. That's why they rejected him. Do you know that your righteousness is evil? I say your righteousness is evil. And until Jesus comes back and finish this work that he's begun in us, we're going to either have a problem with the evilness of sin or the evilness of our righteousness. Meaning you get delivered and you forget that you got delivered, that you didn't deliver yourself, that you were delivered. Somebody woke you up out of your deadness. Somebody woke you up out of your sleep. Somebody did you a favor called grace. You didn't get yourself out of your situation. Saints, I'm saying we got good news, but we out here preaching something else other than good news. The good news is that Jesus has saved us and freed us from our sins. And it's true, saints. Now, once we become saints, the devil has no authority and power over you. You don't have to obey him. But we're so used to doing what he say do. We're so used to his suggestions and we like his stuff. We say, I like what you're saying. I love the way you lie. Saints, it's time to build ourselves up on our most holy faith and let the Lord fill our hearts with love so that every sinner out there in the world, and every saint that's backsliding, and every saint that's struggling with something, that they feel welcome, that they know I can go to that place there, and they can see sin all over me, but they're not gonna make me feel like it. They're gonna make sure that I know I'm loved no matter what. And God is not mad at me. That like a good father, he pities me. He knows that I am dust. You were dust before you came to him, and you still dust. He told Adam, you came from the dust. And from the dust you shall to the dust you shall return. Until he gives you a new body, baby, it's dust to dust. Your whole life, from you're born dust and you got a dusty dash. I know they talk about the dash, and yes, we need to live good in that dash as much as we can. But don't you forget it, and don't you ever fool yourself. You're dust when you're born. You're dust doing your dash, and you're dust at the end of your last days when you die. What's the difference? He didn't just breathe his life into you like he did Adam. See, man was just a lump of clay, and God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But man sinned and left God and turned away from God. And so therefore, all of us were born in sin. And we're fashioned, we're made up in iniquity. But Jesus came and he did something different. God did not just breathe into this dusty body of mine. He didn't just breathe into this dust. He stepped into this dust. He became one with this dust. He put heaven in this earth. He put a treasure in this earthly vessel. Jesus says, I love you even if you let me down. I love you in spite of your failures. If you tumble off the tightrope, you're going to fall right into the hands of his love. That's what you're going to do. You're going to tumble right into the hands of his love. That's how much he loves us. Doesn't get any better than this. This is the good news. The question is, will we let the saints know that God loves us so much and he has forgiven us of our sins? In Romans 11:27, let's look at that one. Romans 11:27. Now, did you just read the last verse? The last verse, because it said he freed us from our what? Our sins by his blood. And this one says he did what? This is my commitment to my people. This is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. This is his commitment to us. Saints, it doesn't yet appear, but this is what Jesus has said he has done for us. I will take away their sins. He has taken our sins away. And it happened first in the spirit realm. And it's complete. It's complete in the spirit realm. It's happening in our minds. We grow out of sin and more fully into Christ. And then when he comes back, he's going to take us away from the very presence of sin. From the very presence. Right now, we still got to deal with the presence. And we got to deal with the power. But what he's totally taken away from us is the penalty of it. What would totally separate us from him. Remember, Isaiah said, God's arms are not short that he cannot save you. His ears are not deaf that he cannot hear you. Your sins have separated you from him. That doesn't apply to us anymore. Back then, my sin separated me from God. Now, God has separated me from my sin. So much so that Paul says, if I sin now, it's not really me, but the sin that dwelleth in me. And in my flesh, no good thing dwelleth. So he asked the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, he's already done it. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm trying to get us to focus on the blood and the body, and I'm trying to get us to focus on what has taken place in the spirit realm, because it looks like in the natural nothing has taken place, but it ain't what it looked like, it's what it is. Whatever he says it is, that's what it is. It may not look like it, but you got to just hang on. What you say, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the imagination of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But it's been revealed to us. We've been given a taste of it by the Spirit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good and everything about him is good. Come on, was it lying or is it true? As far as the east is from the west, so have I separated and taken their sins away from them. Is it true? So we know we got the good news, but is it true news? Do we really believe that God does more than just forgive our mistakes? He removes them. Well, preacher, you got to do something. Don't we got to do something? Yes, all you got to do is bring them to him. I don't care what you're caught up in. Don't try to hide it. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. Don't go into the holy court of God and try to defend yourself. Throw yourself on the mercy of the court. I'm appealing to a higher mercy. I'm appealing to something. Oh, my goodness. When you go in, the judge asks you, what's your plea? Be honest. Guilty. Guilty. And he's already told you in his word, my mercy endureth. Wow. Wow. Did you hear what I said? God does more than forgive our mistakes. He removes them. We simply have to take them to him. He not only wants the mistakes we've made. Did y'all hear that? He not only wants the mistakes that we've made. He wants the ones we're making. See, he doesn't just save from past sins. He saves from past, present, and future sins. And all he wants you to do, come on. You know, we say in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins to God, why do I have to confess my sins to God? Does he know? Then why do I need to say it to him? Because he wants me to know that I know. And that he knows. He wants me to take responsibility and stop blaming Eve. And Eve, stop blaming the devil. Hello? My goodness. I'm going to ask again. I'm going to say it again. This is the good news, but is it true? Because, you know, a lot of people out here preaching something else. They're not preaching that God has done all of this for us. My heart is bleeding because I'm asking the Lord, Lord, show me, show us how to let the world know that he loves them and we love them and they are welcome. And no, they don't have to get themselves together before they can come to their Father's house. Because people feel like they got to get themselves together before they can come. And they talk, I ain't going to go in that planned church. That's what them people doing. No, I'm not planned church. You the one thought that I was perfect. And you have this, unrealistic expectations of me. I'm not playing church. Well, you sinned and you did that. That don't mean I'm playing church. Baby, I'm bringing my sins where they belong to God. To the hospital. You don't get mad at sick folk for going to the hospital. Why would you get bothered with people for coming to church who have sins? But you know what you did last night. So what? Not only does he forgive my sins, he removed my sins, and then he says, I don't even remember them anymore. You come talking about, oh, God, I've done this and I've done that. He said, I don't. You did what? Because I don't even remember it anymore. I will remember their sins no more. I'm just happy my prodigal son is home. God, how do we get this message across to them? You know what the church has done so good? We've done so well, many of us. We have stood and we have made sure everybody know what we against. We make sure we preach against sin. We've let everybody know what we are against, but have we let them know what we're for? All right, I got what you're against, but what do you stand for? What are you for? What is your purpose? He not only wants the mistakes that you made in the past, he wants the ones you are making now. Don't answer, but are you making some? Anybody making some mistakes? Anybody making some mistakes? Are you drinking too much? Are you cheating at work? Are you cheating at marriage? Are you mismanaging money? Are you mismanaging your life? If so, don't pretend nothing is wrong. Don't pretend you don't fall. And don't try to get back in the game. Did you hear that? Go to God first. Go to God right where you are. Go to God with all your sin. Romans 5 and 20, and we're finished. Romans 5 and 20. Go to God first. The first step after a stumble must be towards the direction of the cross. When Adam sinned, that's verse 20 that I want. would be 5:20, Romans. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. That's why God gave us the law. It reveals the holiness of God, and it also reveals the sinfulness of man. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. The Living Bible says it like this: the more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace. That's the good news, and it is true. And we've got to tell them that it is true. Amen. Brothers, if you'll come.